Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Good morning. We've got some messages here. We've got quite a few messages here coming in. And people, y'all need to call in too. Y'all need to get up on the air and talk with this stuff too. First, we got Menace from Ennis. He says, morning, sir. We need to put in a budget, $2 trillion for the military and put the rest on the debt. Then let them figure out what is most important to them in D.C. Yeah. Like, I think we opened up the first hour by saying that. Don't listen to what these people say. Don't read what they post out here on social media. Look at what they do. Look at what they vote for. Look at what they fund. That tells you everything. Dealt with some Colombians years ago, some Colombian, really bad Colombian bad guys that worked right for Pablo Escobar. And they had a saying. They said, it's not the money. It's the money. What they meant by that was it's not that we can't afford to lose a couple of bucks. It's that if we allow people to steal from us, then that's bad business, right? But that's just it right there. It's not the amount of money out there that we're spending. It's that it's all being wasted and stolen. Right? It's not the money. It's the money. We've got another message here from Tim in Billings. Tim says, morning, John. We are living in the movie Groundhog Day, the same cycle over and over and over. But in our version, the politicians are the ones who learn from the cycle and just enrich themselves. We are just idiot background players who keep falling for it over and over and over. And yet when you have people like Rand Paul, Tom Massey, speaking and voting against this lunacy, the special interests leverage the president to denounce them. It is utterly sad and completely humiliating to be a conservative in today's world. Yeah, we've been saying that for a couple of months now, Tim, is that what I call it, this is just a replay of the Paul Ryan Congress. If you remember, when President Trump first came in 2016, we had everything just like we got now. We had the Senate, the House, and the White House. And what did we get from it? Very, very little. And certainly no budget cuts. That's exactly that. And I've said right here on this show, my dividing line with all of these people is going to be this Obamacare bailout. If, you know, like Tim said, we're just doing the same thing over and over again, and we're background players who keep falling for it. If these guys come in here next year and bail out Obamacare again, I'm done. I'm done. I'm not going to be a Republican voter anymore. I'll vote for individual candidates who I like, who I've studied, all that, but I'm not going to be, you know, pulling the lever down across the board for Republicans anymore. I'm just going to be done.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Got some more messages here. We got two messages from Cameron in Billings. I never know whether to call Cameron a he or a she. Cameron, you need to tell Caden the next time you call in so I can because that name could be a male or female. But Cameron says, I too hate when people practice their own religion in a country where people are free to practice whatever religion they want. Cameron's being all snarky there, and I'm sure it's referring to some comments made by us in a previous segment where we were talking about the influx of all these Muslim illegals in the United States. And see, there's two things here, Cameron. See, first of all, everybody has to understand, and I think, you know, if you were paying attention back 20 years ago during the war on terror, you understand that radical Islam is completely and utterly incompatible with anything having to do with the United States. Our morals, our values, our beliefs, everything. Okay, first of all. Second, yeah, you can practice your own religion here in this country, but why are we in the business of importing all of these third, fourth, fifth world people who practice this particular religion that, like I said, is completely and utterly incompatible with us? Now, true enough, the people that are already here, yeah, our Constitution guarantees that, sure enough. But why are we importing more of them, I think, is the point. And then her next comment is, every politician gets into politics to make generational wealth. I don't understand how there's any difference between either side. And yeah, that's the point of the decade. It seems like to me for about, you know, probably 10 years, I've been hearing the term uniparty. And it started right, you know, middle of Obama's term, kept going, and probably reached its zenith. That's what brought Donald Trump onto the stage, just so everybody knows. That's how Donald Trump gained popularity, and that's how he won his first election, because people were just absolutely sick of the uniparty nonsense. It seemed like no matter who we voted for, we got the same results. And yeah, that's the question that everybody is asking, right? And they continue to ask, particularly with our Congress, is what's the difference? Yeah, that's a very good point there, Cameron. And if we don't see some difference here coming up in this next year, leading up to the midterm elections, I think there's going to be a big old wave that's going to knock a lot of people out of the box. It's not going to be pretty. People want results. I'm telling you, I'm seeing that all over social media out here. All these people that are these big conservative influencers out here have humongous followings, and, you know, millions of people follow them. And they are normally Trump fans and Trump cheerleaders. They're all out here raising the white flag, saying, guys, if you don't get some results, if you don't put some, like we used to say, put some dope on the table, you're going to get blown out here, and you're going to deserve to get blown out here in 2026. And that's all they've been talking about since last summer, these people. They were barely in office 5 months, and then they're talking about the midterms. And I said that back then, you know, when people started talking last summer about midterms. I was like, I don't want to hear about midterms. You're going to show me right now results why I should even vote for you again. You know, don't ask me to go start raising my pom-poms here and put you back in office until you've shown me some results. I mean, think about your job, you know, any job you've ever had. Does your boss, you know, after he hires you or after he signs you to a new contract, do you then get to, you know, hang out for 5 months and then start bargaining for your next contract? No, absolutely not. Your boss tells you between this contract and your next one, you know, you're going to put some results on the table, or you're going to be fired. We're going to find somebody else. That's why we signed you to this 2 or 3 year contract, because it's a limited deal. You're not in here forever, right? And you know what Republicans do? Republicans just stay home. When they're not motivated, when they're demoralized, they just stay home and they say, to hell with it. And that's how you lose, because in off-year elections, see, already you've got the other party that is going to be super, super motivated to get out there, because they hate Donald Trump and they hate the Republicans. And so they're going to come out en masse. So then when you got your party that's, you know, goes the other way and is absolutely demoralized, and that just guarantees that you get blown out. I see we got another message here. We got Aaron in Three Forks. Says, Islam isn't a religion. It's a theocracy. in order to be a good Islamist, you need Sharia law in the religion. Yeah, like I said, the way they practice it, and particularly in radical Islam, it is completely and utterly incompatible with the United States and with all of the Western democracies. Because they have absolutely nothing in common with us, with our culture, with our religion, with our ways, with anything like that. And they don't assimilate. That's the point. Most of our immigrants in the past came in here. They wanted to be Americans. They wanted to be like us, and they wanted to assimilate. That's the whole point of any kind of legal immigration, is people who want to assimilate.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures stay around the mid-40s. For tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, mid-20s to around 30. And the outlook for Wednesday does call for more sunshine, with highs in the upper 40s to around 50 degrees. Staying clear Wednesday night, with lows back in the upper 20s around 30. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
The phone's blowing up, but you're in the driver's seat. Ignore the buzz, keep your eyes on the street. No text back, no scroll, just let it wait. Attention on the road, that's the only way. Phone's blowing up, but you're in the driver's seat. Ignore the buzz, keep your eyes on the street. No text back, no scroll, just let it wait.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordlund.
The FCC has added all new foreign-made drones and components to its covered list, blocking approval of new models for import or sale in the United States over national security concerns. While the ban won't ground drones already in use, farm groups warn the timing is challenging as producers face high costs and rely heavily on drones for precision agriculture. The American Soybean Association says foreign-made drones dominate the agriculture market, and limiting access without affordable U.S. alternatives could add new financial pressure on U.S. farmers and applicators. In other news, with Tyson Foods announcing it will permanently close its Lexington, Nebraska beef plant on January 20th of next year, marking the first permanent shutdown of a major facility by one of the big four meatpackers. University of Nebraska-Lincoln estimates the closure will have a $3.28 billion annual economic impact across the state of Nebraska, including more than $530 million in lost labor income across roughly 7,000 jobs. The shutdown is also expected to significantly reduce tax revenues, with annual losses of around $23.2 million in state income taxes and $10.2 million in sales tax for the state of Nebraska. That's a look at your ag news. I'm Lane Nordlund. Have a great day, everyone.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, yesterday we had some developments in this whole push against the dictator and narco-terrorist Maduro in Venezuela. You guys have been following this for a while. It's been a couple of months now that President Trump moved military assets into the Caribbean down there to essentially set up a perimeter around the whole area and started knocking off these drug smuggler boats. The media went absolutely crazy with this. You heard all of that. Of course, the media and the Democrats, you know, want to defend drug traffickers and drug smugglers and narco terrorists and all that. There's nobody out there they won't defend. You know, except if you're an actual law abiding citizen. You know, conservative. They don't want to defend you there. But this took another turn yesterday. First, we saw here a week or two ago that they started intercepting these ghost ships, these big oil tankers that are illegally smuggling oil in and out of Venezuela and, you know, dealing with Iran and Russia and all that stuff. They started intercepting them because, you know, these boats have been internationally sanctioned. We're stopping them. And then yesterday, President Trump confirmed that there was a strike for the first time on a land target in Venezuela. And it was on a dock where apparently this is a major hub of all the dope smuggling coming out of Venezuela, where all the boats come in there, get loaded up, and take off on their runs. President Trump was very murky about it, did not give a lot of details, just said that indeed a strike had happened on a dock that is primarily used for drug smuggling. I found that very interesting that he would do it, that he would confirm it, and that no more details are being given out. I'm sure that probably down there in Venezuelan news, everybody's probably got the full details of where, when, and all that. But that's what everybody has to understand. There's several of these countries down in Latin America that when they have these regimes in power and also no real presence of any kind of American counter-narcotics people, and also broken down diplomatic relations with the United States, these places very, very quickly become narco states. And because of the war on terror, you know, but back during the early 2000s, the United States as a whole took its eyes off of Latin America. Yeah, I didn't care anymore. So it's all about Hajis and caves over in Yemen. All right. Nobody cared about narcotics trafficking and dictators down in Latin America anymore. And this is what allowed a lot of this stuff to happen and go on. And the people of Venezuela have suffered under communist and narco state dictators for the last 25 years because of it. And this guy Maduro, along with his buddy, you know, previous President Chavez, they are completely in bed with also our worst enemies in Hezbollah, in Iran, in Russia, all of that. Do business with them, all of that. You can't have these kind of things right here in your hemisphere, people. That's what foreign policy and foreign aid and all of that stuff is for. If you're going to continue to spend all of these billion dollars on all of this foreign aid and we have all these embassies all overseas, that's what it's for. To spread the good word of the Lord of the United States and its democracy and its economy and make sure our friends are favored in these areas. And you see what the price is of ignoring it for the last 20 years. The good thing is now you see a lot of great things happening in South America with the governments down there. A lot of them are turning back after 20 years of socialist, communist regimes. All of them are sick of it, and they're turning back. You're seeing that in Argentina. You're seeing it just now in Chile. Other governments, their people have just had enough. And the guy in Chile, who's just getting ready to take power, he's almost just like Milei in Argentina. They are both very, very similar to Donald Trump in that their big promises were about outside influences, illegal aliens, and spending. Very, very interesting how that worked out. But yeah, hopefully we'll see at some point here soon, you might see this guy Maduro just decide to step aside if he gets any kind of asylum deal. Got a message here from Right On John from Los Angeles. He says, I had a thought. Could Steve Daines and Tim Sheehy not ask Trump to take a break from Venezuela and Ukraine and disgrace these DEI Republicans? Because if not, the American ship will sink. Yeah. You know, like what we've talked about on the show before, what can you do but put yourself in other people's shoes? You know, I mean, what else can you do? I understand that how this would work is Donald Trump and the Republicans, they want to, they're looking at the macro picture, okay? And if it costs them over here on this side, you know, $5 billion here and $100 billion there, and which is, you know, in the grand scheme of the budget, they see as nothing. If it costs them that not to have a budget fight, then, you know, let it go. Let it ride. And see, that would work. That's actually sound thinking until people see it. Until it gets outed out here on social media and then ends up being talked about all over the news. Because, see, this isn't 20 years ago. See, 20 years ago, before social media, before all this online news and 24-hour news, pretty much our people in Washington just went about their stuff in secret. All of it was on paper. And, you know, maybe something got uploaded to a website, but there wasn't all this access via the internet and social media for people to get out here, read it, and then publicize about it. And none of the big media people ever did it either. So you just didn't know. You never heard any of this stuff. I mean, you guys remember John Boehner? John Boehner was the Speaker of the House back at one point during the Obama administration. And that made John Boehner mad. Boehner back in the day was mad about that. He's like, nowadays, he had a famous quote where he was like, nowadays, like, everybody knows what we're doing. he was upset about that. Yeah, well, yeah, John. Yeah, that's, I generally think that's how a representative republic should work, is that we should have transparency and we should see what you're doing. And like right on, John is saying, this is the point to where this has now, you know, become a thing. And yeah, Donald Trump needs to. I know he's heard about this. It's so viral now. You know he's going to hear about it. And he's going to have to say, guys, you know, take that out of the budget. Strip that out of there. What are we doing here? I mean, these guys should know this on their own, right? They were going to try to just sneak this in, but now that it's got outed, it needs to get redlined. Just do the right thing here, because if not, like I said, that's all these guys ever even talk about is the midterms. Well, here is a thing right here that people are going to remember in the midterms, and you're going to have a lot of your voters just stay home because of it.
Are you?
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, got a message here from Andy in Whitefish. Andy says, speaking of outside influences, how about Netanyahu giving Trump an Israel award? And claiming Iran is making nukes. I thought that spot was destroyed. Yeah, I saw that yesterday. The friendship between President Trump and Netanyahu goes back a long way, even before Trump was even president the first time. And I think Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, is also very, very close with Benjamin Netanyahu. And the outside influences, everybody has to understand, all I've heard for the last 25 years coming from, this is Republicans and Democrats, was that, oh my gosh, Iran. Oh my gosh, Iran. Iran nukes. Iran nukes. Iran nukes. And it was always, what are we going to do? What, they're just about to make a bomb. 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 They've been saying this for 25 years, and yet no one ever did anything about it. Until finally, Donald Trump did. And if I could point back to, you know, we were talking yesterday with Henry Krieger from AFP about the biggest accomplishments of the last year, I would put those bombing strikes against the nuclear sites in Iran as top five, easy. Because this is one of those things. It's not only huge for the world, for a radical Islamic state like Iran to have nuclear capability. But then President Trump was finally the guy that did something about it, that actually pulled the trigger on it and destroyed these places. And you know what? Did that without losing a single American life. The lightning strike, got it done, got in, got out, bing, bang, boom. Finally, one for the ages, one time. Now, can they rebuild that? I mean, sure, but it backs them up years and years and years on their programs. And it also lets them know that, at least for right now, the United States is not effing around with them. With Donald Trump in the White House, we're serious. And this is what will happen to you if you continue down your road of any kind of terrorist strikes. And I believe that's what Netanyahu was giving that award to Trump for. And I saw him yesterday on the Fox News saying that no non-Israeli has ever been given that award. So it's a big deal. I think it's a big honor for him to get that. And everybody has to remember this. There's a lot of sentiment out there. You hear this sentiment among, a lot of conservatives, is they somehow compare Israel to Ukraine. Well, look, Israel has been our ally for as long as I've been alive. And the bottom line is, they are the one force over there in that entire region that is fighting radical terror and radical Islam, and it's spread throughout that region. They are the one group over there fighting them, and we get, God knows, a percentage of our intelligence from that region, from Israel. So, yeah, I think we need to be friends with them. I think that would be good, yeah. Bob in Bozeman. The biggest boondoggle for money is the 60 votes to pass a budget. That was passed so the politicians could hide, but with social media, we can curb that. Social media needs to expose who is voting for these ridiculous budgets. These politicians need to stop worrying about keeping their job and do their job. The filibuster, Bob's talking about the filibuster there. That's a really interesting topic in that in the Senate, See, the House of Representatives, that's only a majority. You know, you can pass whatever you need to pass with a one-vote majority. That's all. But somewhere, I don't know when, it's not written in the Constitution anywhere. It's just a part of Senate rules that they decided they were going to have a filibuster majority for any kind of laws and budgets to pass. And that means 60 votes. And on its face, I tell you what, that's a good thing. It really is on its face, because you wouldn't want at any time one party to be able to just ram its agenda completely through every time. You know, that's part of politicians' jobs up there. It used to be to find consensus. Get up there and sit down like reasonable men, like reasonable patriots, and come to some agreement. This all got turned completely on its head, like most things in this country, by Barack Hussein Obama. Obama came in, and it was already going down the tracks with George W. Bush because of, when the media went crazy on Bush the last 4 years of his term, that kind of set the stage for all the nastiness that continued. But Barack Obama absolutely radicalized his party, and he also completely co-opted the media. And that's when there was no, and with the advent of social media, there was going to be no more collaboration with the other side, not from them, not from the Democrats. You were going to get down with their agenda. You were going to absolutely vote for everything they wanted to do. And you were also going to stop anything the Republicans wanted to do, or they were going to get rid of you. It was an absolute radicalization of that. Now, what happens with that? When you have one side act like that, and the voters out there see that, then the pendulum swings back the other way. Then the other side, like our voters, are righteously demanding the same thing from our guys. They're demanding no cooperation, no quarter be given. Absolutely none. So what does that result in now? That has turned the filibuster into absolute and utter roadblock. That assures that nothing gets done. Look back over this last year when Republicans have 53 votes in the Senate. They control the Senate by 3 votes. But look at how many times there was ever a 60-vote majority to do anything of significance. I'm going to go out on a limb and say never. I mean, absolutely never. Because that's their marching orders. I mean, they want it. You remember back in November when, after six weeks of the shutdown, when Chuck Schumer finally, because they saw air travel going all to hell because some of the air traffic controllers weren't showing up for work because they weren't getting paid. You saw Chuck Schumer finally knuckle under and go ahead and make the deal on the CR. And they want that man's head. They wanted his head now. And I'm telling you, he's probably not long for his position as leader. They're just not going to have that. I mean, you saw that everybody out there on the Democrat side, and even what you would call these kind of quiet, moderate Democrats. Oh, they want his head. They want him gone now because he dared to just go ahead with a CR, with a continuing resolution that was just, there was nothing new in it. It was just the same spending as before. But oh no, he was going to blackmail Donald Trump into bailing out Obamacare. So see, we're in a place that, yeah, that filibuster, just everybody is so radicalized now because of Barack Hussein Obama and where he put us. But yeah, that filibuster is just guaranteeing that nothing is ever really going to get accomplished on either side. That's why, mark my words, Gavin Newsom comes in here in 2028. He wins the presidency, and they win the Senate and the House, which is very common when a new president will take the helm. His party is normally in favor then, so they normally win both chambers. Mark my words, the next time the Democrats get all three, it'll be over, folks, because they're not going to sit by like Mitch McConnell and John Thune and play by the Marcus of Queensbury rules. They're going to nut that filibuster right off the bat. And then they're going to slam through their communist agenda as fast as they can. And number one on the list is? Number one on the hit list is the election takeover bill. You remember Nancy Pelosi tried to do that first thing out of the gate? I believe it was back in 2021. And it got shot down. That's the first thing they're going to do. But they get that thing through, it's over. Your vote doesn't matter anymore. They don't need your vote. They don't need your money anymore. They control the whole thing, and you're going to be funding it. and then they're going to pass the climate bills and tax hikes and all of that stuff, and it's over. They do not play by the same rules we do. And their side is going to demand that they nuke that filibuster. Next time, guaranteed.
Fox Sports Update.
We had our chances to be able to close that game out, and here we are again in a disappointing situation, but this is a humbling league, and we got humbled tonight.
From holiday fruitcake to humble pie, Los Angeles Rams coach Sean McVay not happy with last night's serving. Monday Night Football in Atlanta, the Rams lost their second game in a row, saw their record fall to 11-5. They fell behind the Falcons 21-0 at halftime. They recovered to tie the score, but lost on Zane Gonzalez's 51-yard field goal with 21 seconds to play. Falcons 27, Rams 24. Third straight win by Atlanta, whose running back Bijan Robinson set the team's all-time record for the most yards from scrimmage in one season. He broke William Andrews' record. Robinson had 229 yards on offense, including 195 on the ground, with a 93-yard touchdown run, the longest in Falcons history.
Corral putting it softly with 3 seconds left in the half.
And Jokic is down. Jokic took a shot. in that left knee area, and he is really in pain right now. The whole bench up on the Nuggets side.
Weird way for the first half to end here in Miami. All of Mile High Denver right now holding their breath.
On FanDuel Sports Network, Nuggets center and three-time league MVP Nikola Jokic limped off the court in Miami and did not return for the second half of his team's 147-123 loss to the Heat.
And it looked like his feet got tangled up with a teammate, and obviously immediately he knew something was wrong. This is part of the NBA. Anybody that gets hurt in this game, it's kind of gut-wrenching, especially somebody as special as he is.
Nuggets head coach David Adelman. Nikola Jokic will have an MRI today on his left knee. It's Game On with the Fox Sports app, available wherever you download apps. I'm Jared Max.
Get more on the Fox Sports app and foxsports.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With a mix of clouds and sunshine across the area for today, high temperatures stay around the mid-40s. For tonight, with clear to partly cloudy skies, mid-20s to around 30. And the outlook for Wednesday does call for more sunshine, with highs in the upper 40s to around 50 degrees. Staying clear Wednesday night, with lows back in the upper 20s around 30. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Hey, if you're traveling through the holidays, through the new year, I'll tell you what, make sure you have the Montana Talks app on your smartphone. Heck, sometimes you'll have the button right on your dashboard in your vehicle if you have the Montana Talks app on your phone. And then you can listen to the show live. You can download podcast audio, plus get any of the news stories or commentary that we publish on the site as well. Yeah, get the Montana Talks
app. Finally, take control. Consult your financial advisor before investing. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
One thing that's come out about all the fraud and crime over there in Minneapolis is it was a pretty quick reaction by the Trump administration. And as of yesterday, we saw on video, apparently federal agents going now door to door over there with these daycares and all these different businesses over there, knocking door to door, interviews, what's going on here, all of that. They are there on the ground in force. And I think it's just about every federal agent that can be put out there, and they're canvassing. The problem with it is so many of, once this stuff goes public like this, the first thing these criminals are going to do is destroy all the evidence. And they also announced yesterday that 98 people have been charged. Now, these are not 98 cases that are brand new based on what you've heard the last couple of weeks. These apparently are cases that they've been working on a while. I saw some report that some of them even started in 2022. But then that begs the question is, well, what are cases doing sitting there floundering since 2022, and it's getting ready to be 2026? That pretty much tells you that what they did was they had a file on this thing and basically, you know, threw it in the, you know, in the circular file there, the circular waste can, and brought it back up here in the last like 4 months when this stuff started really coming out. That's my guess, because, you know, how do cases take 4 years to come to fruition? Really funny thing, really interesting thing yesterday that happened also in, you guys, the most famous thing out here that came out of Minneapolis in these daycares was this one place where the guy couldn't even get the spelling right on his fake sign in front of this daycare, and called it, it was supposed to be called the Learning Center, and he called it the Leering Center. Couldn't even get the N right on that. And, of course, you know, people out here on social media are just running wild with that. I mean, with all the jokes. And it's actually, they made some pretty funny jokes about that. But what did they do yesterday? What did all the Somalis do yesterday? You'll never guess. They organized a whole bunch of people to start running their kids in there. And it was a flurry of activity yesterday of children coming in and out of the Learing Center. Because the word had gone out, hey, they're on to us. They're on to us. Get, you know, anybody that can, get your kids in here and start, you know, we're going to have to act like we got some kind of business going here. When the residents of the area have already said that place, they thought it was a vacant lot. Because every time they've ever been by there, there's never anyone there. Right? It's completely obvious what they're doing. But you got to hand it to them. They didn't just... They didn't just close up shop and just start destroying all the evidence. They decided they were just going to press on with the fraud, with the charade, and get a bunch of people to run their kids in and out of there. And then even uglier, I guess there were, when people got wind of this, you know, some citizen journalists and other people went over there to film it and were accosted by Somalis out there and cursed at and told to leave and all that. Apparently, they were going to go through this charade of having the kids go in and out of there yesterday, but they didn't want it to be filmed by people. That didn't make any sense to me. Of course, that's what you want. Yeah, that's you would think you would want people there. That's the whole point of this, is that it's a show. Right? But yeah, they didn't help themselves yesterday by cursing at and threatening people that were there to film the activity. It didn't really help their image. I don't know if it's possible to help their image at this point. The idea would just be to just go somewhere and be quiet and let everybody film it, but it's going to blow back on them. I don't think this is going to help them. I don't think that show is getting them out of it.
I taught for 20 years until I started forgetting my lectures.
Eventually, he had to quit. Getting his early Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard, but it gave us time to take control of the situation together.
I can't imagine going through this without him.
If you or your family are noticing changes, it could be Alzheimer's. Talk about seeing a doctor together. For more information, visit alz.org/timetotalk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
You got me!
The galaxy is safe once again.
Sometimes kids play with pretend guns. It's up to us to make sure they don't play with real ones. Keep yours stored locked and unloaded. Learn more at nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.